ಧಾವಾ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋಧನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋಧನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರ ಯಮುನ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ Please repeat after me, that Jai Nishimha Shri Nishimha Jai Jai Narasimha Dev Lala Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhunga Ugram Viram Mahavishnu Jvalantam Sarvatomukham Nishimham Vishanam Badram Mityum Mityum Yamamyaham Glories to Lord Nishimha, Shri Nishimha. All glories to Lord Nishimhadev. The Lord of Prahlad, who like a honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. May my head be protected by the moon-colored one, who is the greatest amongst humans. My obeisances unto the ferocious and powerful, the great Vishnu, the fiery one whose faces are on all sides, the fearful one, Nrisimha, who causes the death of even death personified. Today's verse is a very beautiful one. This is the wrong canto. It's canto number 7, chapter number 9, text 5. This is a very beautiful verse from the beginning of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisimhadev, shortly after Nrisimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu. Svapadhamule patitam tam arbakam Svapadhamule patitam tam arbakam Svapad Hamule Patitam Tam Arbakam. Vilokya Deva Kripaya Pariplutaha. Vilokya Deva Kripaya Pariplutaha. Utapya tach chishni adadat karambujam. Utapya tach chishni adadat karambujam. Kalahi vitrasta diyam kratabhayam. Halahi vitrasta diyam kritabhayam. Please chant.
Svapadamule patitam tamarbhakam.
Someone from the ladies' side to chant, followed by the students.
Svapadamule patitam tamarbhakam. Vilokya deva kripaya Tadiyam Kritabhayam. Svapadamule patitam tamarbhakam.
The word. Svapadhamule. At his lotus feet. Patitam. Fallen. Tam. Him, Prahlad Maharaj. Arbakam. Only a little boy. Vilokya. Seeing. Deva. Lord Nrisimhadev, Kripaya, out of his causeless mercy. Oh, sorry, I got lost. What's the next word? Pariputa, very much afflicted, in ecstasy. Utapya, raising. Tat Shirshni, on his head. Adadhat, placed. Kara Ambujam, his lotus hand. Kala Ahi, of the deadly snake of time, which can cause immediate death. Vitrasta, afraid. Diyam. to all of those whose minds. Krita Abhayam, which causes fearlessness. Translation. When Lord Narsimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Purport. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maitana, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in a fearful consciousness, sada samudvigna dhyam. And the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Narsimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Narsimhadev. Yato yato yamitato Narsimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Narsimhadev. There will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. Om Aganati Mirandasya Ganjana Shalakarya Chakshurun Miltam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pujari Nirvise Shishunyavadi Pastitya Veshita Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vinadhara Shivas Adhikuru. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Pancha Kalpatirubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo. I want to circle back to this verse towards the end of the class and explain a little bit about why I chose it, but I wanted the duration of this class to sort of, in a roundabout way, come to the point of this verse. When I was 15, I went on an experience that definitely changed my life. I went on the bus tour in 2012, and once we were in Calgary, and something very, I guess, extraordinary, or something happened, it wasn't Calgary, it was Edmonton, and something happened that definitely changed my perspective a little bit. And the city of Edmonton itself is not very exciting. Sorry if you're from Edmonton. It's a very gray industrial city, and our bus was parked outside of a crematorium, which was adjacent to the temple. And we were waiting for the temple program to begin, and one of the bunks near mine, there was a friend of mine, and she had the floor bunk. And if you have the floor bunk on the bus and the bus tour, it's all the way at the bottom. And at that point, I had a little bit of a wall. It's almost like a cave. And she came running out of the bus with so much fear, but also some kind of glimmer in her eye, like something magical had happened, yet fearful. And she said, I'd just been attacked, but I'd been saved by Narsimhadev. And I said, what happened? She said, I was sleeping, and I had this nightmare. There was a spirit or something was on me, and I couldn't breathe. And I was in this cave-like bunk, and just felt like I could not breathe. And I tried calling out to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, but it would not end. So all I knew what to do was go, Narsimhadev, Narsimhadev, Narsimhadev. And it went away, and I felt like I could have lost my life. And at 15, I never experienced anything like this for myself or thought much about Lord Narsimhadev, what's his presence in my life. But here is someone close to me that had an experience where Narsimhadev, more than chanting the Maha Mantra in this occasion, brought so much faith and perhaps life to this young devotee. And a few years later, another instance that really stood out to me about Lord Narsimhadev was Here in this temple room, it was a wedding, and His Holiness Indradhima Swami had attended the wedding. And at that same time, Jayaprataka Maharaj had gone into a coma, and it was a very serious life or death coma. And the word was, we have about 20 minutes to know whether Maharaj will stay with us, or Maharaj will depart. And the whole temple room, if you feel the energy, just thinking about it and speaking about it, I can feel a little bit of the same energy. It was so intense. It was so heartbroken, fearful yet hopeful. And Indradhima Swami led us into the most prayerful kirtan, the Sringadev prayers I've ever been in my entire life, with devotees crying and crying and calling out to learn the Sringadev for help, for protection. And 20 minutes later, we got the phone call that he's conscious, Maharaj is conscious. And I remember feeling that Krishna is actually there. Nrisimhadeva is actually there. He is real, and I can call out to him, and he will respond. That hope that Nrisimhadeva will respond to that. You know, fear is such, some say fear is the strongest force of this world. But I really feel that stronger than fear is hope. And what every human being, every living entity, every devotee is seeking, yes, to love and to be love and to express love, but also to have hope, to know that if I turn to you, my Lord, will you respond? And that's a question that can plague a devotee, that we can have ups and downs with this question. It can break our faith, it can break our faith. Yet, when we hear about Lord Nrisimhadeva and experience for ourselves and hear about this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, it brings so much faith. And that's one thing I want to highlight today in going through this pastime. I feel that Lord Nrisimhadeva's presence is inherent in the life of the devotee. It's just, if you're in a fearful situation, if you're in the car, you just chant Nrisimhadeva's prayers. It's part of our psyche, it's part of our being, it's part of who we are. And I feel also that devotees who may not understand Krishna or how he does his dealings in perhaps a roundabout way, or may not understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, bringing Krishna prema, they can still have a relationship. And I often see they still do have a relationship with Lord Nrisimhadeva. Because at a time of fear, who do we call out to? Even if our faith in Krishna is broken. We call out to Nrisimhadeva, yes. And I feel that the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva is so simple, yet so captivating. There's three characters, right? Who are the characters? Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, and Nrisimhadeva. And any basic story has a protagonist, an antagonist, and a hero. It's such a simple, there's three characters. There's a bad guy, a good guy, and then there's the hero. Thank you. And there's so much depth in the story at the same time. It gives so much hope. I want to share a few very interesting points that makes the avatar of Nrisimhadeva so different and unique from any other avatar of the Lord. Nrisimhadeva, first of all, what is his form? It's half and half and half man. Have you ever seen another form of Krishna that comes in half a beast, half a human being? Never.
I know an example. I've seen deities of Lord Brahma where he's portrayed with a human-like body similar to that of Lord Vishnu, but with oars.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, well, it's unique. It's definitely still unique. And I do want to share a very interesting story that I heard in this uniqueness of the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. In Germany, in the Bavarian forest, archaeologists found what they call the Lion Man. It's this deity. Some are nodding their head, they might know this. It's what they say, an old form or a deity. 40,000 years old, of the body of a man and the head of a lion. 40,000 years old, and so significant about this, in the same Bavarian forest, there's our deity of Lord Nrisimhadeva in Samachalam Dham, that some of the story, which is long and elaborate and beautiful, Nrisimhadeva chose this spot. So Nrisimhadeva is so unique, this form is so unique, and it's recognized outside of our devotee circle. Do you know how long Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on this planet? Does anybody know this fact? how long? He was here for 48 years. Krishna was here for approximately 125 years. Do you know how long Lord Narasimhadev appeared on this planet? Less. 48 minutes. 48, think of us, less than the amount of time of this class. 48 minutes. Why? He came solely for the purpose to protect his devotee Prahlad and to prove the word of his devotee Prahlad. 48 minutes. This is a form of Krishna that comes solely for his devotees. And as a devotee who's seeking shelter in the Lord, isn't this so beautiful? That Krishna will come just for us, just for you. Come all the way to this planet for one single purpose, for 48 minutes. And I want to ask two questions that will guide this class. And I think these two questions we should ask ourselves every time it's a Vishnu Tattva appearance day. Why does the Lord appear? And if the Lord appears, why is it relevant to me? How can I relate to this? Something that happened millions, trillions, thousands of years ago. What use is it to me? And the second question is, how do I cultivate a relationship with this form of the Lord? Because if we don't ask these questions, then this would just be a theoretical day or one day in the year where we remember the Lord and forget him for every other day. If we don't ask these questions on appearance days, we won't actually realize that maybe today, as a merciful day as the appearance day of Lord Narasimhadev, can help propel me forward in this relationship. I can make advancement on this day. So I want to go through the pastime of Lord Narasimhadev and look at it in this lens. How can I take something from it? How is it relevant to me? Because Hiranyakashipu is all the way on this side, so extremely demoniac, we may not be able to relate with that. We may think that's not me. I'm sure it's not. And then on the other end, there's Prahlad Maharaj, who is so, so elevated that he seems so far away that we say, I'll never become like the crest-like jewel of Prahlad Maharaj. He's too advanced. Perhaps I'm somewhere in the middle. But when you go through this pastime and seek out the lessons, there's so much to build our advancement in faith in Lord Narasimhadev. The story begins with a question by Parikshit Maharaj in the seventh canto. He asks Shukadev Goswami, you just recited the story of Vishnu protecting the demigods against the demons. It seems he's partial to his devotees, but that goes against the whole basis of a loving, caring God. If he favors certain people, does he actually favor his devotees? And Shukadev Goswami, smiling, knowing this is a very important topic, he shares a conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni, which the same thing was discussed. And from this conversation, the story of Hiranyakashipu comes. Hiranyakashipu was the brother of who? Hiranyaksha, who were Jai and Vijay cursed to come as demons and be in these leelas with the Lord. And when Hiranyaksha was annihilated by Varahadev, Hiranyakashipu was very, very distraught. He was very furious. Hiranyakashipu felt very angry. He felt angry towards Lord Vishnu. He wanted to seek revenge. He thought, Vishnu killed my brother. My brother. The Lord should be impartial, but he killed my brother. Therefore, I will seek revenge. In fact, I will become so strong, I want to become invincible, so therefore I can defeat Vishnu. And this is the beginning of a demoniac tendency. They don't see their own shortcomings. Right? Jarasandha told Krishna, how could you kill your own uncle, Kamsa? But he did not see that Kamsa had killed so many children prior to that pastime. So this is Hiranyakashipu. And so he knew that was no small thing to do, to kill Vishnu, who's the enemy of the demons. So he did very great austerities for 10,000 years. It was said that when Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya, he was so fixed and determined in his austerity that the whole universal balance had been disrupted. And there was a very strong heat in the universe, practically so that no one could breathe. So the demigods, they went to Brahma and said, do something about this. Look what he's doing. He's causing havoc all over the universe. None of us can do our service. Everything is out of balance. So Brahma went. And there he sees Hiranyakashipu on one leg with his hands folded and a really big pile of ants crawling up his leg, past to the point that all you could see was bare bones. And Brahma came and he said, Hiranyakashipu, what do you want? Please stop this. You're disrupting everybody. Hiranyakashipu saw Brahma and he said, I want to become immortal. And Brahma said, that's impossible. Even I'm not immortal. Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, from Brahma all the way down, everybody must die. So I said, I cannot do that. Ask for something else. So Hiranyakashipu, he thought of this ingenious way to become immortal without asking to become immortal. He said, if I can't become immortal, then give me this boon. I will not be killed by any living entity that is created by you. Okay, so be it. Tatastu. Give me the boon I will not die in the night or the day. Done. Give me the boon that I will not die inside or outside. Done. Not in land or air. And like this, he keeps going and going. And by the time he finished, Hiranyakashipu knew, I've gotten what I want. I've tricked Brahma. I've become practically immortal. And when Brahma left, he thought, oh no, what have I done? What havoc is going to come my way now? And the havoc came. I mean, he was so averse to Vishnu, actually because of fear. He was so averse to Vishnu because of fear that if anyone worshiped Vishnu, they would be tortured, they would be killed. The list of horrible things went on and on and on. But at the same time, Hiranyakashipu had a son, and he was his only son, as far as I know, and very affectionate towards him before Prahlad Maharaj opened his mouth and started speaking. He affectionately had Prahlad Maharaj on his lap, and he said, So Prahlad, what did you learn in school today? And I want to highlight a couple things when talking about this. Actually, I want to backtrack a little bit before getting into this part of the Leela. Hiranyakashipu was very powerful. And when someone does great austerity, they get great power. And when they have great power, whatever is within them becomes amplified. And so for Hiranyakashipu, all the demoniac tendencies became amplified. And when I hear about Hiranyakashipu, I think of possibly the furthest personality type from me. I don't relate with him at all. I don't want you to think that, yeah, I should relate with Hiranyakashipu. But at the same time, he teaches what a demon is on the extreme level. Bhagavatam does this often. It makes a point and it pulls it to the extreme level. So Hiranyakashipu represents the demoniac tendency. According to Shastra, a demon is asasura mate iti asura. Anyone who enjoys with their own senses is a demon. So a little bit heavy, a little bit strict of a definition. But if we understand what this means, is that a demoniac tendency is as simple as someone who makes plans to enjoy separately from Krishna, or someone who turns away from Krishna is showing an asuric or a demoniac tendency. Now, if you think about that, that's a little more relatable. You can say, okay, yeah, maybe that tendency is in me. Hiranyakashipu is so far in this direction, but that asuric tendency, that might be actually within me. Perhaps it's subtle. In previous yugas, demons were said to be on different planets in Satya Yuga. In Treta Yuga, demons were said to be in different families. As ages went on, demons were said to be within different people. But in Kali Yuga, demons are within the living entity, within our own nature. What that means is that this tendency to turn away from the Lord is actually within all of us. And therefore we know that's why we're here. And it could be so subtle as we portray ourselves as devotees, we try to be devotees, but internally we still have a tendency to put Krishna to the side, put ourselves first. Sura means one who gives pleasure to the Lord. So asura is the opposite. So there's a good side, there's a covered side, there's perhaps a little bit of an atheistic side, or this Asuric tendency within all of us. And there's a very nice story that I think captures this understanding so well. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, in his last few days, and Sachidananda Swami tells the story of how, on a phone call, days before Maharaj had passed away, he had told him, he said, there's two dogs within the heart. Do you know who these two dogs are? And Sachidananda Swami said, no, Maharaj, what are you talking about? I'm not so much into dog fights. And he said, there's two dogs that are fighting. Which one will win? He said, think very carefully. In our hearts, there's two sides. Which side do we give nourishment to? Which dog is going to win? He said, the dog that you feed will win in a dog fight. There's two sides within each of us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur once made a statement that the living entity is somewhere between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Somewhere between this divine devotee tendencies and the demoniac Asuric tendencies. So it's up to hearing this pastime of Nisringadev and Prahlad. It's so relevant, it's so important, because actually it represents what's going on within our own heart. And hearing it again and again helps clear those anartas, helps us understand which side will we feed, where will we give nourishment to, which tendency will we start to give attention to. So what was Prahlad's side? What was he like? He was pretty much the polar opposite of his father. Prahlad was faithful. Prahlad was fearless, absolutely fearless. And Prahlad was so, so bold at the same time. Perhaps one of the boldest preachers in the history of humankind. When Prahlad was tortured, he was charged by elephants. He was put in a pot of boiling oil. I mean, if you've ever put pakoras into a frying wok and a little oil splatters in your hand, it's so, so painful. These are things you can't even conceive of because it's too difficult to even think of what kind of pain would come. Pits of snakes, thrown off a cliff. And he was asked, Prahlad, what are you feeling? Aren't you scared? All this is happening to you, but you show no fear. Prahlad responded, the fire that I'm thrown into, this is like the yajna. And what is a yajna but the mouth of my father, the mouth of Vishnu? So if you put me into the mouth of my father, Vishnu, will he eat me? No. So I have no fear. This is Prahlad. This is Prahlad's consciousness. Completely fearless. Completely faithful. Unbreakable. Hiranyakashipu was completely fearful. He saw matter in everything. He saw matter in spirit. He did not see the other way around. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful Nisringadev's appearance day. He saw matter and spirit. He was so afraid of God that what Hiranyakashipu tried to do was use his own power, his own ability, his own resources to try to fight off whatever fear came. But Prahlad Maharaj was the opposite. Prahlad Maharaj also had challenges. He also had so much to be fearful, especially at only the age of 5. But he didn't depend on his own power. He didn't depend on his own strength. He didn't depend on any temporary material means to overcome his fear. But rather, Prahlad Maharaj depended on the strength of his Supreme Lord, the strength of Vishnu, the strength of Nisringadev, and his dependence on Nisringadev in order to overcome his fear. So Prahlad was fearless, and Prahlad was so bold. And this is my favorite quality of Prahlad, that Prahlad Maharaj could stand up to the one person that not any strongest of the strong demigods would dare stand up to Nisringadev. Would dare stand up to Hiranyakashipu. But here is this 5-year-old boy with so much strength, with so much boldness, with so much determination in what he believes in. So Hiranyakashipu, he asked, so, Prahlad, what did you learn in school today? And Prahlad said, without a blink of the eye, Tat sadhu manye sura varya dehinam sada samudvigna diyam asagrahat hit vatma patam griyam andakupam vanam kato yad darim ashayeta. He said, oh, best of the demons. He starts by calling his father, oh, best of the demons. Oh, demon, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in the dark well where there is no water but only suffering. Can you imagine? What have you learned in school? And he just directly points at his father, Hiranyakashipu, and completely just goes against everything that Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad to learn. Goes against everything that Hiranyakashipu stands for. And it continues, one should give up this position and go to the forest. One should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent. The topmost demoniac atheist in the whole universe. You should go to the forest and only become Krishna conscious. And thus, he said, you should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every value that Hiranyakashipu based his persona, based his whole lifestyle, philosophy, everything he stood for, crashed in an instant when his son said the exact opposite. How bold! And I believe this is also Prahlad Maharaj's humility. Humility isn't just being steamrolled or being a yes person. Humility is standing on the Krishna conscious values that we have cultivated. It's being bold. Prahlad was had so much faith in his values of Krishna consciousness that he would rather give up his own life than take on a demoniac tendency, than be a yes man to his father in order to please him, but then give up his values of believing firmly in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu said, do you know who you're speaking to? Do you know who you are in front of? You offer your obeisances to Vishnu? You're asking me to worship Vishnu? Choose your words carefully, dear boy. I can chastise you accordingly, physically and verbally. You know what I'm capable of. But he continued, but Vishnu, he's the chastiser of everyone in the universe. What are you going to do? So bold. So he said, Prahlad, I'm your father. Don't forget, Prahlad. But you don't forget. Someone is your father. Oh, father, he's the creator, the maintainer of not only me, but also you as well, and your entire kingdom. Why are you getting uselessly angry? So Hiranyakashipu said, I'll give you another chance. Come back, learn from your teachers properly, and let's see what you have to say. Some time passed. Prahlad Maharaj came by again. So, what did you learn this time? Shavanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atvani vedanam. All he's talking about is Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. It's like he's doing it on purpose. But he's everything that Hiranyakashipu threw at Prahlad. His faith was like a forest fire. If wind comes and it blows a forest fire, what happens? The forest fire grows and grows. If wind comes and blows a fire from a lamp, what happens? The fire dissipates, it goes away. So that faith was like a blazing forest fire, that anything that instigated Prahlad increased his faith more and more and more. And finally it came to that boiling point that we all know. We're furious. Hiranyakashipu asked, okay, I'm sick of Vishnu. Where is he? Is he in this pillar? Yes, father, he's everywhere. He's even in this pillar. And with his fist, Hiranyakashipu strike the pillar. And what happened? The Bhagavatam explains, to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man, nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in this wonderful form in the assembly hall. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. And we can see these natural weapons so beautifully displayed here in the altar. It said that when Sringadeva was fighting with Hiranyakashipu, it was like a cat who played with a mouse, just having a little bit of fun before he finally finished his life. And he did it in a way that kept the word of his devotees. He appeared to keep the word of Prahlad, he appeared in the pillar, and he kept the word of Brahma, who gave this benediction to Hiranyakashipu, not on the air or the ground, but on his lap, not inside or outside, but within a doorway, not day or night, but at twilight, and not with any weapons, but with Nakam Madhbhuta Shringam, with his razor-like nails. Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. And I want to bring this back to the point of partiality. At the beginning of the story, Pariksit Maharaj asks, but isn't the Lord partial to his devotees? See what just happened. And this whole story was told. And what happened at the end? We have two extremes. Bhakta Shiromani Prahlad Maharaj, the crest jewel of devotees, and the greatest of demons, the most demoniac of demons, Hiranyakashipu, they both ended up in the same place. They both sat on the lap of the Supreme Lord. They both sat on Srimadeva's lap. Their position was the same, but their disposition was completely different. Their position was exactly the same, but according to their desire and their desire of a relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna reciprocated in that way. And he reciprocated to an extent that we hear one step towards Krishna we take, Krishna takes 10 steps back towards us. So Krishna is not reciprocal. Krishna is not partial. Krishna is rather reciprocal. And more than reciprocal, Krishna is merciful. Because he goes out of his way more than we go out of our way for him, because he loves us so much. And he gives us free will. Prahlad exercised that free will out of devotion and love. And therefore we come to this verse we heard about today. He picked up Prahlad off the floor and put his loving hand on Prahlad's head. He gave him his blessing. He gave him fearlessness through his hand on his head. It's such a beautiful imagery. And when I was thinking about which verse to speak on, this kept playing again and again in my head. And I kept thinking, what would it feel like for Nishimade's hand to be on my head? And I had this imagery of the beautiful photo of Nrisimhadev, whose hand is on Prahlad's head. It's big, it's warm, maybe it feels something like a cat's paw. And it's comforting. I feel protected. This is the devotional attitude. This is the reciprocation we get from the Lord when we approach him with devotional service, with bhakti. And Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to have a relationship with Krishna also. He didn't know it, but all he can think about was Vishnu. But the way he wanted to reciprocate was in a demoniac form. Was he wanted to kill Vishnu. He wanted to fight with Vishnu. He wanted to be Vishnu. So Krishna just had to reciprocate. He wasn't partial. And he did it mercifully. I mean, by his own nails. And not only that, because of Prahlad Maharaj's devotion, Hiranyakashipu and 21 generations were liberated. How incredible. And this is the kindness of Nrisimhadev. If we're here on this day thinking, how do I have a relationship with Lord Nrisimhadev? This is the way. This is the relationship with Lord Nrisimhadev we can cultivate. But we have to see, which dog do we feed within our heart? Where do we give ourselves nourishment? Do we nourish ourselves spiritually? to renounce ourselves from a materialistic, asuric tendency. If we nourish ourselves like Prahlad exemplified, he's the Acharya of Smaranam, of remembering Krishna. We are on the Krishna Consciousness Society. We're also meant to remember Krishna 24 hours a day and never forget him. If we follow in these footsteps, we will also get the reciprocation of the Lord. The Shimadeva will also put his hand on our head. We will also get fearlessness. This is guaranteed. But there's one step past that. It's not that Krishna reciprocated as Nrisimhadeva with Prahlad, and that was the end of the story. And then Prahlad forgot about Nrisimhadeva. He only remembered him when he was in danger. Like, we may only remember Nrisimhadeva when we're in the car, or when we're having something horrendous happen in our family. Now, Nrisimhadeva said, I'm so pleased with you, I want to give you a benediction. I want to give you a boon. He said, I'm not interested in all the benedictions. Please, if you want to give me just one benediction, there is just one thing I want. May you, my Lord, you are the king of benedictions. So please, may all the lusts and material desires in my heart, may they disappear. This is the only benediction I desire. Why? Because lust and material desires in the heart represent the asuric tendency. It represents the side of the heart that's personified by Hiranyakashipu, the bad dog. It's feeding the bad dog. He wants to always remember Krishna. And by clearing that anartha away, there is space for the Shimadeva to always be within our heart. So this is the key to understanding our relationship with the Shimadeva. It's not just today we remember him. It's not just when we're fearful we remember him. But we pray that lust can be removed from our heart, that the Lord can sit there forever and forever and ever. So I wanted to highlight something I found very interesting. And in the Nrisimhadeva prayers, there's a line, Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimho Nrisimham Madem Sharadam Prapadye. Nrisimhadeva is Bahir, outside. But he's also Hridaye, he's also within the heart. So Nrisimham Madem Sharanam Prapadye. So to Lord Nrisimhadeva, I Sharanam Prapadye. I take shelter of, I surrender unto. But where? Within Hridaye Nrisimho, within our heart. Not Nayana Nrisimho, not with our eyes, not when we see the Lord. Actually, yes, Nrisimhadeva came for Prahlad Maharaj. But also Prahlad Maharaj, he had already seen Nrisimhadeva in his heart this whole time. So in one sense, Nrisimhadeva came and left in 48 minutes, but he stayed in Prahlad's heart forever, before, during, and after. Because Hridaye Nrisimho. We have to clear our heart. We have to pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to please clear our heart of lust, material desires, the asuric tendency represented by Hiranyakashipu, so that the Lord may be seated there. There's a prayer by Srila Prabhupada in the purport to Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 20. And Mother Agatmika shared this with me, and I loved it so much. And she told me that every day when she takes darshan of Lord Nrisimhadeva, it's her prayer. Srila Prabhupada states in this purport, anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas chabhadram vachatad adokshaje. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimho, Hridaye Nrisimho. Let Lord Nrisimhadeva sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimha Nrisimha Madim Sharanam Prapade. Let Lord Nrisimhadeva sit in the core of my heart, killing all bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's the greatest honor really to speak about Lord Nrisimhadev. It's so touching, and I feel so much ecstasy really, in a sense, so much feelings talking about Lord Nrisimhadev and thinking about him and meditating about him. And before we take questions, I do want to thank the devotees and the Child Protection Office team and Dania for kindly asking me to speak. And I also want to speak a little bit about child protection. As you know, today is our Child Protection Awareness Day, and also this Saturday is our monthly six-hour kirtan in dedication to our children and to protection of our children. And I wanted to speak a little personally, my own realization, and if this at all reflects with you or inspires you, and then I would feel that whatever I say would be a success. I was thinking before this class, before I was asked to speak today, that every year we talk about child protection awareness on this day. And to be honest, I quite couldn't understand what that meant. My prior thought in Nrisimhadev's appearance day was it being a child protection awareness day. I would think, but isn't it obvious that we have to protect our children? So what's having awareness day to protect our children? It just seems like it's an obvious thing. Now, who would say otherwise that we need to protect our children? And I realized that when something may seem very obvious or when it goes without saying, that's when abuse happens. And that's the attitude that's actually made me realize, I think the way I'm thinking is part of the problem. If I'm thinking it goes without saying or it's obvious that our children need to be protected, there's nothing perhaps for me to even do about it, or I'm powerless, I don't have any power to do something about this. And then it continues, then the systemic abuse does not stop. So I realized this within myself that I need to have a perspective change. And I was thinking, just if I think my neighborhood is safe, if I think no one's gonna steal my car here, maybe I thought, I don't know anyone who steals cars in this neighborhood, or it's an upper middle class neighborhood. Because of that, it's naturally very safe, so I won't lock my car at night. What's gonna happen? Chances are my car will get stolen. Because it goes without saying, it's a safe neighborhood, so there's no need to even consider this. But if I take extra necessary precautions, if I know that perhaps this neighborhood is upper middle class, or I don't know of any car theft in recent years, but if I value this car a lot, I think my car is very important to me, it means a lot to me, it's worth a lot, then I'll lock it, I'll put an alarm on it, and chances are it won't get stolen. So for me, my realization was in the same way, if I start to think that child protection is something that goes without saying, that it's an obvious fact you have to protect our children, but I don't do anything personally about it, I don't educate myself further and make it my own personal responsibility, that's what perpetuates systemic abuse. So I just wanted to share this realization that I realized I need to check myself and see that our children are extremely special. They're like Kunti children. They're devatas, sages lining up in the heavenly planets to take birth in the womb of a devotee. Our children are, just by taking birth in our families, are making steps to surrender into Krishna. And sorry if it may seem offensive or absurd that I'm saying this, but history has said otherwise. And I feel so strongly that it's the responsibility of each and every single one of us to take protection of children very seriously for ourselves. Because every single person in here has some relationship with a child, either your own child, a brother, a sister, a niece, a nephew, a grandson, granddaughter, and therefore we all have our own relationships, so we all have a sense of responsibility. And I was speaking to Dania about this, and she shared with me that with other organizations that have had systemic abuse problems, actually what turned it around was education and training and actual awareness for every single person within the community, because a society is made up of many individuals. And every individual has a lot of power, whether we know it or not. And collectively, when we come together with this attitude, a lot of change actually happens. And I don't want today, as Child Protection Awareness Day, to be a day where we, in the name of Lorna Shimadev, point fingers here and there, but rather think ourselves, how can we look within ourselves and say, what can I do to make a difference? And actually, it will 100% make a difference. And as a second generation devotee, as a young person that knows many peers who have unfortunately been victims of abuse, I truly, truly believe that the success of this movement, if we're at all concerned about the success of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, if we're all concerned with the success of Prabhupada's ISKCON and want to uphold that legacy, the success will be measured by how we move forward as a society in protecting our children and nurturing our children. I 100% believe this. And so on Saturday, please, please do come for our six-hour kirtan. There's perhaps no better way to ensure the safety and protection than to turn as a community to Lord Nishinidev for strength, for his guidance and strength within ourselves to do this necessary seva. And there will also be a presentation on Saturday by the Child Protection Office here on how to get involved on yearly trainings. And it would be so wonderful if everyone seated here could be there today, or could be there on Saturday to be part of this initiative. And our community is so incredible as it is when it comes to this. We've setting such an incredible standard, and we can really create a legacy and change the narrative. And I really feel do our part to serve the Prabhupada's mission and to serve our children very much by individually making an effort in this way. So that's just my realization on the subject. And on Lord Nishimadev, thank you all very much for being here. Shri Nishimadev Bhagavan Ki, Shri Prahlad Maharaj Ki, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. And I'm not. I don't know how we're doing on time, but if we have time, I'm most happy to take any questions. Before we take questions, I just want to say if I said anything incorrect, or offensive, or shastrically wrong, please do correct me. If I said anything that you liked, that you're inspired by, all the credit goes to my spiritual master in Srila Prabhupada. Please.
Hare Krishna, Sri Ram. Thank you for the great class.
You're welcome.
There's one question that came to my mind while you were giving the lecture. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between the two types of protection that Prahlad got when Narsimhadev was not personally there and then when Narsimhadev personally appeared? Because Prahlad was protected from so many things before Narsimhadev personally appeared, mm-hmm. you know, from the elephants, from, you know, the boiling, from the fire, from the snakes, mm-hmm. from getting thrown down the pit. Mm-hmm. Who was protecting Prahlad at that moment? Was it still Narsimhadev, even though he hadn't appeared yet personally? Mm-hmm. Who is there a difference between those two protections when Narsimhadev personally came as a half man, half lion, mm-hmm. but Prahlad was still being protected before, even though there was no half man, half lion there personally yet? So is there a difference between those two protections, or is it the same with still Narsimhadev?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead within Prahlad Maharaj's heart, who he prayed to, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Lord Narsimhadev, is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the form that he came as Lord Narsimhadev, and it says in Bhagavatam, came to uphold the words and statements of his devotees. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, my devotee will never perish. And the statements of his devotees will always be upheld by the Lord. So this specific form came because of Prahlad's statements, really, because the Lord is present everywhere in this pillar. So he came out, the Lord is coming in this form to uphold the statements of Brahma, his devotee. Whether that meditation of Narsimhadev was the exact form Prahlad Maharaj would envision in his heart or different, that I can't say. But it was the same exact Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he came out into his form and gave his darshan to everyone assembled in Prahlad Maharaj, that form is the manifestation of the prayer, of the sincerity and bhakti of Prahlad Maharaj to Vishnu within his heart. That was the form that appeared out of that. Does that make sense?
And another quick question. Please. When should we pray for Narsimhadev for protection, or should we pray, Krishna, let your will be done? Maybe things should happen to us. You know, maybe we should get some results for our karma, but should we still pray Narsimhadev for protection?
Prahlad Maharaj prayed, may I be protected from Maya, essentially. Srila Prabhupada would also instruct devotees that when Srila Prabhupada was ill, that the prayer was, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please keep Srila Prabhupada with us, something along those lines. And I think it's natural and it's okay to say, Narsimhadev, protect me. If you're in a fearful situation, you're in a car accident, Narsimhadev, save me. You know, it's to say, no, you're in a car accident, you have to say, Narsimhadev, if you desire, please remove the anarthas from my heart right now. He's the Lord of the devotees, and it's natural for us to call out to him. Ultimately, we do have this prayer, and this is the same prayer that Srila Prabhupada states in the Bhagavatam. Sit in the core of my heart, kill my bad propensities. Let my mind become clear, so I may peacefully worship you and bring peace to the entire world. But at the same time, we have this innate desire to be protected, and we shouldn't feel that because of this, I shouldn't turn to Lord Narsimhadev Shirdi for protection. It's also there. Yeah. Anybody else? Perhaps not. Thank you very much. I'm so honored to be speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam with you today. Shri Narsimhadev Bhagavan Ki, Shri Prahlad Maharaj Ki.